This podcast is brought to you by the Albany Public Library Main Branch and the generosity of listeners like you.
What is a podcast?
God, Daddy, these people talk as much as you do. Razib Khan's Unsupervised Learning.
You know that genetics plays a huge role in our health, and more people are using genetic testing to determine risk for diseases like cancer for themselves and their kids than ever before. So I want to tell you about ORCID. It's the only company that does whole genome testing for embryos, testing before your child is born. If you're doing IVF, this is a clear choice now, because now you can reduce risk for thousands of single gene disorders, including heritable forms of autism, pediatric cancers, and birth defects. Check them out at ORCIDHealth.com.
My name is John Bruce Massey. I was born in the far remote southwest corner of the Australian continent in amongst thick temperate rainforest. I grew up there and then later in Perth, which is the capital city of Western Australia. Graduated in civil engineering from the University of Western Australia and worked in Perth for a bit more than 7 years, designing bridges and doing other things. Then got into bridge foundations and road embankments and dealing with landslides. And so I progressively specialized in geotechnical engineering, which is a specialization of civil engineering. And then in 1978, completely to my surprise, I was recruited by the Hong Kong government to work on landslide problems. I did not apply to them. They recruited me. They grabbed me. Hong Kong has a bad history of landslides. That's not perhaps the image that most people have of Hong Kong, is just a giant concrete jungle, but it's far more than that. And it has, on average, about 300 landslides every year. So I worked for the Hong Kong government from 1978 on landslide problems and then other things as well, for 31 years. I came to Hong Kong for 2.5 years. I ended up working for the government here for 31 years. I retired from government in 2009 at the mandatory retirement age of 60. I then just had to serve a 2-year sanitation period where I was not permitted to work for anybody because of all of my top secret stuff that I knew from the government. And then I joined an American-parented multinational consulting company. It's, I think, the largest engineering and architectural consultancy in the world. Now, it has its headquarters in L.A., but it has an office in Hong Kong with 3,500 staff. I'm now rapidly heading for the age of 72, but I'm still working part-time.
It's great. You know, you've obviously had a lot of experiences that's pretty different from a lot of other people, John. So the reason I had you on the podcast is, you know, we've known each other through the internet for almost 20 years now, since the beginning of my blog, and you've been commenting on a variety of topics, kind of bringing your analytical engineering mind to things. The first thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, you've been in Hong Kong for a while now, and we started having discussions last winter about coronavirus and COVID-19, and you had a lot of things to say, partly because people in Hong Kong have had some experiences, obviously, with these sorts of issues over the last generation, and the reaction was pretty quick, and pretty rapid. And, you know, I feel like here in the United States for the first couple of months, we heard a lot about Hong Kong. We heard a lot about Taiwan, you know, to some extent, Singapore, Japan, South Korea. And we've kind of been focused on our own vaccination drives and whatnot of late. And we kind of took our eye off the ball on what's happening in East Asia. So could you tell me the current situation with COVID-19 coronavirus and what life in Hong Kong is like right now?
It's very strange. We got our first cases to mainland Chinese who were visiting Hong Kong, were found to be infected on 23rd January 2020. Everybody in Hong Kong immediately started wearing face masks. No one told them to. They just did it. Because everybody had very painful memories of the SARS epidemic in 2003. And the whole population has continued to be very compliant with mask wearing. And I think it's fair to say that we've got through it fairly lightly. We've had a couple of waves. The maximum daily confirmed cases was 150. We're now back down to, yesterday we had only 3 confirmed cases and they were all traceable. We like those ones because we know how they got infected. We don't like the untraceable ones because that means there are silent chains of transmission in the community and we don't know where they are. Total fatalities, 208. Fatalities were very low, but unfortunately, at some point, the virus got into homes for the elderly, and then the number of deaths rapidly rose, but they've now got the lid on that again, and so fatalities have tailed off again. So, and we have had no lockdowns. No lockdowns. We've had social distancing measures, gymnasiums closed, restaurants closed, bars closed, but we've had no total lockdowns. Largely life has gone on pretty much normally. But of course, no international travel. But the really strange thing is that 2 months ago, shipments of vaccines arrived. We have 2 vaccines, BioNTech from Germany, which is the same as Pfizer, and one from Sinovac in China, which is much less effective than BioNTech. And nobody in Hong Kong trusts anything that comes out of the mainland, including vaccines. We started community vaccinations 2 months ago, and so far the uptake of vaccinations is pathetic. So far, only 6% of the total population has been fully vaccinated. And at this rate, we will never get anywhere near herd immunity. Can ponder why there is so much vaccine hesitancy in Hong Kong, because we don't have a big group of anti-vaxxers in Hong Kong. Normally, Hong Kong people all get their shots. They all send their kids to get their shots. But they're very hesitant about these vaccines, both of them. I can only put it down to the fact that they are new and regarded as relatively untried. They were produced very quickly. There have been a lot of scare stories circulating, both in the mainstream media, who've done a very bad job of sensationalizing people dying after being vaccinated when there's no connection, and wild stories circulating on social media. And everybody knows that if we're going to get Hong Kong opened up again, if we're going to reopen the airport to international travel, if we're going to reopen the border to the mainland, then we need everybody vaccinated. But they're kind of sitting back and not doing it. They're waiting and seeing what happens to other people who get vaccinated. So it's progressing really very slowly. And it's a cause for great concern to a lot of people, particularly for me, because I have a daughter working in the mainland. I haven't been able to see her since August last year because the border's closed. That's about it. We're just talking now to Singapore about establishing a travel bubble with Singapore because they have the coronavirus pretty much under control, the same as Hong Kong. But that will rest on only people who are fully vaccinated will be able to travel. So whether that will encourage more people to get vaccinated, I do not know.
Well, so I'm kind of curious. I haven't been following this. What kind of worries do people have in regards to the vaccination? What are they hearing from social media? I'm curious. We have some of this in the United States. Honestly, I've just been focused on getting vaccinated myself, which I have got my first shot while we are recording this. So I don't really actually know what people are worried about. Can you tell me, John?
Well, a typical story in the South China Morning Post, which is the principal English language newspaper in Hong Kong, is 85-year-old man dies after being vaccinated. That's the headline. Then you read the story, you find out the guy was 85 years old. He had multiple chronic illnesses. He received a vaccination 1 month before he died. The health experts say there's no connection, but people don't trust that. I mean, you might just as well report 85-year-old man has a glass of water and dies a month later, you know. It's just as relevant. There's a lot of lack of trust. There's a lack of trust in the local experts, medical experts. There's a lack of trust in the government. Another one was women having miscarriages. Well, I happen to know that in anatomically modern humans, 50% of all pregnancies spontaneously abort. I think that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
They happen. My wife miscarried before our daughter was born. My wife miscarried. She didn't even know she was pregnant. But now if a woman miscarries and she had a vaccination 2 weeks beforehand, she wants to blame the miscarriage on the vaccination. And of course, that goes around and around and around the social media, and it builds up and it builds up. So there's I even have to keep explaining this to my wife, who is a normally very rational person. I have to assure her that there's no connection.